In November, Colorado voters will select a replacement for term-limited Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper. On June 26, those same voters will decide who they want to have on the fall ballot during the primary election. I'm Brian Larson, and this is a special pre-primary episode of KUNC's Colorado Edition. Four Democrats are seeking their party's nomination, and four Republicans are doing the same. The winner on each side will then have just over 4 months to make their case to the electorate as to why they are the best person to have the job. Our colleagues at Colorado Public Television recently hosted the candidates in 2 one-hour-long debates. KUNC State House reporter Benta Berkland was there and summarizes them for us. We'll start with the Democratic debate, and as we will hear, the candidates discussed everything from transportation and education to fixing the state's budget.
Lieutenant Governor Donna Lynn, former State Senator Mike Johnston, Congressman Jared Polis, and former State Treasurer Kerry Kennedy mostly agree on policies, but there are some differences, like health care. Polis backs a single-payer plan.
We're the only country in our state of Colorado in the industrialized world not to have universal health care. Let's get there.
While Lynn, who was at one time an executive for insurance provider Kaiser Permanente, supports universal health care, she's opposed to single-payer.
I'm not a supporter of the single-payer system because I don't think we can accomplish that in Colorado, and our voters rejected it in 2016.
On the education front, Kerry Kennedy and Mike Johnston have different views on a bill he sponsored to change how teachers are evaluated and base part of it on student growth.
The teachers feel demoralized by this. They know there's a lot more going on in their kids' lives than just what's happening in the classroom. Other states that have taken this approach have backed off, and they're absolutely within their right to make that your record.
Kennedy is referring to a TV ad attacking Johnston's bill. All the candidates signed a pledge to run positive campaigns. She said she wouldn't call for it to be removed because it's from the PAC, Teachers for Kennedy, and not from her own campaign.
There are differences in our approaches to education policy, and it's important that the teachers have the ability to express their opinion in a race that matters to them.
But Johnston fired back, saying Kennedy supported the teacher evaluation measure.
In 2012, you called it a national model that helps gives us the tools to drive towards student achievement. So I don't know when you changed your mind on that. It's published under your name.
As he was talking, she quietly said she didn't remember that. The Teachers for Kennedy ad also attacked Polis for being pro-school voucher.
For what I can tell, the attack on me was based on an op-ed I wrote almost 20 years ago.
While in Congress, he says he's never backed vouchers.
And I have a 100% voting record. I have an A with the NEA. And it just seems to me it's a failure of leadership to stoop to that level and attack fellow Democrats.
Polis and Kennedy are considered the front runners, followed by Johnston and Lynn. All were asked how they would handle the next recession, which could happen in the next 4 years. Lynn said she'd increase the state's reserves to 10%, something she tried to do this year.
That's prudent. We didn't get that far, and clearly we have some pent-up demand for things like roads and education. So it was a little bit of a balance, but I would definitely say that next year we've got to take the tough step of adding to our rainy day fund that we have.
She's not the only one who wants to increase the rainy day fund. Kennedy does as well, saying the state must invest wisely.
And I took steps to move state investments, taxpayers' money, out of risky Wall Street investments so that here in Colorado, taxpayers didn't lose money in their state investments in the same way that other states lost hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars.
Johnston would look to make changes to state laws to reduce spending.
Stop criminalizing mental health, stop criminalizing drug addiction, and stop criminalizing poverty. Those kind of reforms are some of the few big ideas in the state that would actually save the state hundreds of millions of dollars in the state budget, and that would be where I would start.
Polis also wants to reform sentencing laws and said if governor, he would focus on job growth, touting his own experience as an entrepreneur.
And empowering people to be able to support themselves and perhaps someday even create jobs for others is what an economic recovery and economic growth is all about. I'm the only one who's done it.
The Democratic primary for governor has been spirited and is expected to be close. An added uncertainty is the fact that for the first time, unaffiliated voters can participate in party primaries.
As you just heard, unaffiliated voters now have a say in selecting the general election candidates. KUNC's Matt Bloom looked at how this might sway the outcome on June 26th.
Colorado is home to a unique electorate. That's because the state is essentially split evenly into thirds between registered Democrats, Republicans, and unaffiliated voters. So why do 1.2 million voters choose not to register with two of the major political parties? That's a question we took to Denver's Union Station.
It means that I can look at the whole pool of candidates and see who I think really represents me the best. I feel like there's a lot of variation in the quality of candidates, and so as more information comes out on their platforms, it allows me to feel more open with my choices and also feel a little bit more of a sense of freedom, not feeling as locked into one party or the other or not being, you know, included at all. This is a wonderful way to support the American dream.
While unaffiliated voters can help swing elections in November, especially during presidential years, they now have a chance to impact the selection of candidates in the June 26th primary. Because of 2016 legislation, all registered unaffiliated voters will be mailed ballots in June. They'll get to select between Democratic and Republican candidates, like governor and treasurer, for example, but they can only select one ballot. If they return both ballots, neither will be counted. The Colorado Secretary of State's office has been underway with its public awareness campaign since April, but it's not quite sure how many unaffiliated voters will participate.
I think it might result in more moderate candidates being selected from their party base. I think you'll probably get a broader, more general voice of the American public and perhaps less special interest groups dominating primary nominations.
Unaffiliated voters who agree with certain elements of what maybe the Democratic Party or Republican Party chooses, but then have that option to get involved in the primaries, can choose which direction it leans further from that. So that it's very much in the hands of unaffiliated voters.
Early numbers from the Colorado Secretary of State's office released in mid-May show more unaffiliated voters leaning towards Democrats versus Republicans. For KUNC and Colorado Public Television, I'm Matt Bloom.
The voters in our story were David Mokey, Katie Krueger, and Boone Riddle. The last Republican governor in Colorado was Bill Owens, and his second term ended in 2007. That's why the GOP is pushing hard to retake the seat, which is why it was odd that the presumed frontrunner, State Treasurer Walker Stapleton, didn't participate in the Republican debate. Again, here's KUNC's Benta Berkland.
Organizers say they gave Stapleton seven different dates to choose from, but for this debate, the only participants were former Parker Mayor Greg Lopez, businessman Victor Mitchell, and Doug Robinson.
Where's Walker?
That's Robinson.
He's not here. I'm not surprised. He doesn't show up at half of our events. We have worked all of us, the state, and every small town and so on. He's not there. He wasn't here on para reform.
Stapleton is seen as the establishment candidate. Mitchell says his early edge coming out of last month's state nominating assembly is a non-factor.
There are certain party establishment people that love Walker Stapleton because basically they can give him tremendous amount of special interest money and they feel he's more predictable.
Mitchell, Robinson, and Lopez are all running as party outsiders. Lopez says he doesn't care who the GOP officials support.
I don't pay attention to it because it's the voters. They don't speak for the voters.
But just who is the least establishment among the three? Robinson and Mitchell got into a heated exchange about it after Robinson noted that Mitchell has run for office once before.
He calls himself the only outsider in the race. He said this again and again. I'm the only one. I've never run for office. Victor was a representative. He's the only one of us that has actually been elected to the state house.
Doug, are you really serious? You're George Romney's grandson. You're Mitt Romney's nephew.
That's Mitchell.
I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner for 31 years. I spent 2 years in the legislature a decade ago, and I went back to the private sector. It's a bit rich. It's misleading.
Robinson seemed frustrated at the Romney reference.
I am frankly tired of this attack on my family. I mean, we don't choose our family that we grow up in.
But the candidates did find things to agree on. For example, none want to raise taxes for transportation funding, all want more transparency in health care costs, and each thinks President Trump's policies, like tax reforms and judicial nominations, are leading the country in the right direction. When asked what Trump policy they disagree with, Robinson says trade.
I don't think that his policies that he's put forward on tariffs and trade are good for Colorado. They're not good for our beer industry. They're not good for our farmers.
Mitchell says he also disagrees with tariffs on U.S. allies like Canada and questioned Trump's management style.
The biggest policy problems he's had is by putting a team together, and he's had a lot of turnover, as we all know.
Lopez thought Trump is really helping the country.
I can't really think of one that I would say I don't agree with. Perhaps there's one where I could say he might have taken a different approach. That would be the NAFTA. you know, and how we're dealing with NAFTA, with Canada and Mexico, because they're so close to our borders.
They don't all have the same stance on marijuana policy and the three marijuana bills Governor John Hickenlooper recently vetoed. Mitchell took issue with a veto on a bill to allow medical marijuana as a treatment for children on the autism spectrum. And Mitchell says he would have signed a bill to let publicly traded companies invest in marijuana businesses.
I've come a long way on marijuana. I've been reading up and really studying and talking to a lot of people.
For his part, Lopez says he was pleased that the governor took a cautious approach and vetoed both of those bills. Lopez also supports the governor's veto on marijuana tasting rooms.
It's going to be shocking, but I agree with him. I think really what Governor Hickenlooper is realizing is that he should have taken a stance in the very beginning.
Like Lopez, Robinson says he would have vetoed the bills too.
We were sold at the time that through legalization, three things would happen. We'd get more revenues for our schools, the black market would shrink, and we'd keep it out of the hands of our kids. And we have not done a good job.
Each candidate wants to invest more money into mental health services. Mitchell says he doesn't think the state should criminalize recreational drug use like marijuana. Lopez also thinks Colorado is too quick to sentence people in some cases, especially those with mental illnesses or those who have experienced trauma. I'm Benta Berkland.
Colorado's primary election is Tuesday, June 26th. This has been Colorado Edition. Our show this week was produced by me, Brian Larson, and Aaron O'Toole. KUNC digital editor Ashley Jeffcoat also contributed to our show. We would like to thank Colorado Public Television for allowing us to use audio from their debates. Our stories were reported by Benta Berkland and Matt Bloom. Our intro music is Remember Me by Colorado musician Kalatana, and our outro music is Good Grief by Ryan Little. You can subscribe to Colorado Edition at KUNC.org or on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.